Well, praise the Lord. Well, the title of the message tonight is Push. Pray until something happens. There may be more than meets the eye here tonight with a little title like that. So let's look to the word of the Lord. Pray until something happens. Let's begin Isaiah 37 and 3. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, ruling the nation of Judah. Hezekiah said, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. A day of trouble for Hezekiah. He said, the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Have you ever felt like that? Has a church ever felt like that? You have the vision, you have the seed of God, you may even have conception, but you're lacking fulfillment and you lack the result of that vision and that seed of God in your life or in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah was facing that. Hezekiah had just completed a number of years of great spiritual progress and increase and restoration. And now he'd come to a trial and a test. The enemy had come against them, and he cried out and said, shall the children come to the birth and not come forth? That's how he felt. He said, there's no strength to bring them forth. But you know what? God had a different answer. And we're going to see what that answer was tonight. But first, we're going to hear God's word in Isaiah 66, 9. The Lord says, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery? Says the Lord. Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God? Notice what Hezekiah was saying. There is no strength to bring forth. The children have come to the birth. There's no strength to bring forth. What was God saying? Shall I bring to the birth and not cause delivery? Shall I bring to delivery and shut the womb? And so there is a word from God for us to hear in our spirit tonight. Well, let's begin with 2 Chronicles 29 and trace the days of Hezekiah a little bit. Bible says, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Why? The doors had fallen into disuse. They were sagging on their hinges. The people hadn't come to the house of the Lord. King Hezekiah, first year of his reign, first month, he said, we're going to open the house of the doors of the house of the Lord once again. The entry, the attendance of the people, the corporate gathering, the gates of praise. He said, I want to hear in Judah once again, because it had been a long time, Hezekiah said. He said, I want to hear once again the people shouting, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He repaired the doors. Verse 4, then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place, the sin and the compromise. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule. Why do we need to go to church so much? They put out the lamps, the golden lampstand, 66 pieces beaten into one work to shine the light and revelation and understanding of God. No hunger for the word anymore. The 66-piece book that God wants to shine forth out of our lives in the house of the Lord, and that fire would burn in us as the word rests in us. They put out the lamps and have not burned incense. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Psalm 141:3. Let my prayer be set forth as incense. We need to burn incense unto the Lord. It's his desire and his delight. They said, we're not going any more prayer meetings. Shut down the prayer meetings. Or offered burnt offerings. The burnt offering was the full surrender of a person's life. I'm giving everything on the altar of God to be consumed by the fire of his sacrifice. Now these people, in the abstract, they said they loved God, but in the concrete, they denied him. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord, next verse. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense, prayers with fire. There was a word to the Levites. Well, we know who the Levites are. The word Levi means joined. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We are the new covenant Levites, and we must stand before the Lord. So Hezekiah had great reforms. Then chapter 30 and verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel, the covering of the blood of the Lamb. He sent messengers up into Israel. Israel had already fallen into the Assyrian captivity. Many had been deported, but there were remnants scattered throughout the north of the land in Israel. And he invited them in. Then it says in verse 25, the whole assembly of Judah rejoiced, also the priests and Levites, all the assembly that came from Israel, the sojourners who came from the land of Israel, and those who dwelt in Judah. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, to heaven. They restored the house of the Lord. They restored the worship and the prayer. They restored a hunger for the word. Chapter 31 and verse 1. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down the high places and the altars. The immorality. From all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. Verse 20, thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, so he prospered. Wow, what a beginning. Years, 14 years, restoring, building, purifying, consecrating the people, the worship, the house of the Lord, the Passover. The church was alive with the presence of God and the spirit of the people. Then, 2 Chronicles 32:1. After these deeds of faithfulness, the enemy came. After these deeds of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. After these deeds of faithfulness, say what? That isn't fair. Well, the enemy doesn't care about fair. The enemy is not interested in fair. But God is interested in faith. And Zechariah faced a trial in the kingdom and in his own life. Isaiah 36:1, it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. And you know what happened to King Hezekiah? 14 years he'd served God with all his heart, but fear took hold of him, and he fell to the flesh. He started to plan his own way and devise his own way against the enemy. And listen what he did in 2 Kings 18:13-16. And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Wow. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. And the king of Assyria assessed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the enemy, gave it to the king of Assyria. Have you ever stripped the gold from the temple? Have you ever taken the shine off the house of God, the glory? Criticized the ministers of the Lord, criticized a brother and sister in their ministry, stripped the gold? If we strip the gold, we're left with a bare building of boards and bars. It's the glory of God that makes the difference. His deity, his divine presence, his glory. But Hezekiah fell to the flesh in the day of battle. The enemy had come against him, and he began to go against the house of God, tarnish it a little bit. Well, he came to his senses. He came to his senses. You know, he did some good things. He cut Hezekiah's tunnel through the rock, which he didn't need to do, but, you know, I'm glad he did, because when you go visit Israel, you can go through his tunnel underground in the rocks. But he began to do things out of his own heart and mind, devising how he would get through this trouble. Strip the gold, build the tunnel, do some other things to fortify. But he came to his senses, and he said, I need a word from God. And he sent to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 37:1-3. And so it was, when Hezekiah heard it, the continuing report, the escalating report of the enemy, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, said, I need some fasting prayers in my life. And he went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, and they said to him, Thus says Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Chapter 37, verse 6. And Isaiah said to them, Thus shall you say to your master, Thus says the Lord, Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. Do not be afraid of the enemy's report, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And Hezekiah heard the word of the Lord, and Isaiah told him exactly what to do. He said, You're in a day of trouble. You're in a day where you've come to a certain point, but there's no strength to bring forth. God said, there's an answer, and that answer is to pray. 37 and verse 15, Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. 37:21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed, if you have a paper Bible, you should underline this or highlight it in red. Isaiah said, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back." Such a victory. Such a victory. Hezekiah didn't know what to do. Children are come to the birth, no strength to bring forth. The word of the Lord is pray. Begin to desperately pray and call on the name of the Lord. To birth children, you have to travail. You have to pray in cycles that rise and fall. Travail of spirit, labor of spirit, push. It's what they tell the women when they're in the delivery room, in the birthing room, push. Well, that's what God says in the house of the Lord. When we're facing the enemy, when children have come to the birth, but it seems there's no strength to bring forth the blessing and the promise of God in our life, the Lord says, pray until something happens. Desperate prayers, deep, fervent prayers of the Spirit, some fasting prayers and calling on God for breakthrough. And listen to Isaiah 66:7-11. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. God is already in the process with us. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Such a breakthrough? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. As soon as Zion travailed, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God? Ah, he says, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. That's what God says. If we will travail, if we will labor in prayer, if we will push, pray until something happens, we will be delighted with the goodness of the Lord. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And we need to ask ourselves tonight, do I know how to travail to bring forth the promise of God? Or do I dabble in prayer and kind of muse around and meditate a bit? Have I really learned to pray those fervent, travailing prayers of the Spirit of God, where something that has seed in my life, something that has vision, some promise that's there doesn't seem to come forth? But if I can learn to travail in prayer, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. This is a supernatural work. This is a miracle work. This is a miracle result that only comes one way. Hezekiah, a day of trouble. I'm in trouble. Walked with God so many years and now facing the enemy. The children have come to the birth and there's nothing, no strength to bring them forth. God says, not so. He said, shall I bring to the birth? Will I put a seed in you? Will I put a vision in you and then not fulfill it? Will I cause the time of delivery and then shut the womb? God says, no. Push. Pray. Travail. Labor and groan. Cover the altar with tears. And cry out to the living God for his answers and his miracles to come, his breakthrough to come, power over the enemy, power over captivities and sins, power over lethargy and stubbornness, power over self-will and the flesh life, power over angers and fears and anxieties. I've come so far, but I just can't get the victory. God says, pray until something happens. If you learn to travail, if you learn to travail, you will walk forth in the rejoicing of Jerusalem, and you will be satisfied with her consolations and with her joy, and God will satisfy our spirits, because this is the answer and this is the way of the Lord. 1 Kings 18, 41 to 45. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Famine had been on the land. Elijah said, there is the sound. I can hear it. There isn't a sound. There's the sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Yeah, while some are feasting, others are fasting. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the Mediterranean, out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. No, it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Elijah started praying. The report came in. There's nothing. He fell to his knees. He cast his face upon the ground and called out earnestly on the Lord, sent the servant up the hill. There's nothing. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Prevailing prayer, earnest, desperate prayer, because he had a word from God. He'd come to the birth, but was there strength to bring forth? It's not whatever will be. If God says it, it's going to automatically happen. Elijah had a word from God, and he began to travail to see that word come forth, to see that reward and that promise come forth in his life. Listen, if you don't like your weather report, pray. If you don't like what you're seeing coming on the horizon, pray. You can change the weather. You can change the report. You can change the skies. You can change the future by travailing prayers. James 5, 16 to 18. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, the King James says the effectual. The effective, the effectual. It really means a spirit-inspired prayer. It's something that's birthed by the Holy Spirit according to the promise of God. The Spirit-inspired prayer, the effectual, effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, not little, not a few. It avails much. Fervent prayer. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. It's because he prayed earnestly that it did not rain. God had said, I want to put a judgment on the land. But that land, that promise, even that judgment required a man in the earth to agree with God and pray it through and bring it through. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. A man on Mount Carmel, praying and praying, crying out desperate prayers of intercessions, prayers of travail, crying out before God, and the promise came to pass. Let's learn to pray like Elijah. What about Jesus? Let's pray like Jesus, Hebrews 5, 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. This wasn't only Gethsemane. That was at the end of his days of his life, of his flesh. The Bible says when he had offered up prayers and supplications in the days of his flesh, his entire life, his prayer ministry, vehement cries. weeping, calling on God, crying out to his Father to fulfill the promise and bring his kingdom and bring his life and bring his healing and bring his strength into the land. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, vehement cries and tears. These are the prayers that bring forth and bring forth life and bring forth the future. Well, let's close out with Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and bring forth. By faith, she received strength. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a rhema, a word, an inspired word from God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word from God. We have to tune our ear to hear a word from God, for a promise to come alive, for a spiritual verse or scripture or something or a declaration from God to come alive, and then faith comes. Faith comes by hearing a word from God. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. We have to listen. We have to get into the presence of God, hear his voice. There comes a promise. Now I know. See, by faith, she received strength to conceive seed. Sarah received strength, a miracle strength. The power of God came upon her. Because she had that word of faith, and she said, I'm going to receive strength through that word. And she did. Others said, it's impossible. She conceived and brought forth a child. People say it can't happen. Too many years have gone by. Too much disappointment. Too much unbelief. But she judged him faithful who promised. She judged him faithful who promised. She had been relying on her own strength and brought forth an Ishmael. Now she would rely on the strength of God and bring forth an Isaac. She judged him faithful who promised. Sometimes we judge God unfaithful, not sure he's going to fulfill his word, his promise, his direction in our life. But we must give up our mistaken tones of mistrust and disappointment and unbelief. For he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Judge God faithful in your life. Judge God faithful. And take his word and begin to pray it and call out on God with all your heart once again. You know what happened to Sarah? The promise of God was renewed in her life. It was a promise she had a few decades ago, and she'd let it go, and she started working in the flesh and operating in her own mind and her own ways, an Ishmael life and an Ishmael spirit, an Ishmael upbringing. But she received strength to conceive seed, and the promise was renewed in her. It was the old promise of God that came back to the fore in her life, and she took hold of it, and she said, I'm not letting it go this time. I let it go once before. But not this time. I'm going to work with God. I'm going to labor with God. And she brought forth the son Isaac. Well, let's have the worship team come and let's stand together tonight. The Bible says, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ's coming, or you're going to him. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Judge him faithful. Judge him faithful. Take his word, travail in prayer, and know that the Lord will satisfy you with his vision and his promise and the fulfillment and the fullness of his will for your life. no longer a Hezekiah spirit. Maybe you've walked with God here for many years and things were progressing and you've had such victories and wonderful things and restorations, and now the enemy has come. Maybe it's 14 years, maybe it's less, maybe it's more. And all of a sudden, you've got that spirit like Hezekiah. You can faint, you can fear. The children have come to the birth and there's no strength to bring forth. But God says, take his promise. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to come forth? Shall I cause to come forth and shut the womb? God says, no, that's not my spirit. That's not my way with you. You begin to travail. You begin to push. You pray until something happens and see the breakthrough of the Lord on the vision of your life. He is faithful who promised. He is faithful who promised. He is faithful who promised. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might rain. He prayed in praying, groaning in the spirit, travail and intercession. Loud cries and weeping like our Lord and tears. The earth brought forth her fruit. We can change the weather by the Holy Spirit. We can change the weather report. We can change the future that seems to be coming in on our family, on our lives. We'll call on the name of the Lord. Break our pride. Break our arrogancy. Break our independence. Break our trust in our own mind and will, and get down in the presence of God until a seed of life and a promise and a substance comes by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many can say amen to the word of the Lord tonight?